Welcome back. We sincerely apologize for the break in transmission, but we are back and better, and we needed that break to be able to contain the revelation that the pastor wants to drop. So we are back, sir. Yes, we are asking you, was this so from the beginning, this mixture, this mixed multiple?
Yeah, I was explaining before the technical break how that we are to move from faith to faith.
Yes, sir.
The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written,
the just shall live by revelation.
Amen. By faith, by revelation. And it is upon this rock of this revelation of this agenda that Christ will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Amen.
Now, so let's go back to the Old Testament. I'll give you three pictures that we have of this mixed multitude, a type of the church. You will just see the mixture. Now here we have, the first one is in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, remember that a woman, the church is depicted as a woman. Like we see three women in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
And they are all referring to, you know, church. The first one that we see is Revelation chapter 12, that is Israel, the church in the wilderness.
Yes, sir.
It's referred to as a woman with 12 stars, the crown, mm-hmm. and everything, the moon and the sun. Then in Revelation chapter 17, we now see the hall, the great hall, the harlot. And then the third woman is Revelation chapter 19, referred to as the bride that made herself ready. So, You will now see how he now used a woman in the Garden of Eden. Eve.
Wow.
Eve is a type of the church. In her womb of that church called Eve. Remember that Eve, the name was changed from woman to Eve. Meaning what? Mother of all living souls. She's a mother of a mixture.
Hey, mother of all living.
Yes.
Wonderful.
You see, why does he say so? Because in her womb, we are two manner of people. In her womb, we are two seeds there. Cain and Abel. But in one womb, but these two had two different fathers.
Different origins.
Now it's a type of the church of Jesus Christ. Depicted, Christ himself gave the parable of the wheat and tares.
Yes, sir.
While men slept in Matthew 13, maybe for the purpose of those who may not know what we're referring to, read it.
Matthew 13 from verse 24.
Yes.
Another parable put it forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares?
What did he say?
He said unto them, an enemy had done this. The servant said unto him, without them that will go and gather them up. But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them.
But what should he do?
Let both grow together.
So you can you now see why he allowed the mixture in the church? You see, now you'll understand that even better when you go to read 2 Corinthians chapter 11.
Yes, sir. From verse 1, sir.
Now, from verse 1, see the way Apostle Paul puts it very, very clear here.
Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly.
Yes.
And indeed, bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ.
Now, like Christ is referred to as the last Adam, God gave him a wife. She was a chaste virgin. So also, God, through the apostles, the ministers, but now we are espousing us, the church, to Christ as just a virgin, just as it took place in the Garden of Eden, then what does he say?
Verse 3. By fear, lest by any means, as the serpents beguiled Eve through
his substance. Can you see?
So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Uh-huh.
For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached.
So you can see now, an enemy has done this.
Sir, I'm still asking because questions are already rising up from what you're saying. I'm still wanting to know, sir, when did this mixture take place? When did it start? Is
there an answer? While men slept. You have just read it.
Okay.
When did this mixture take place in the womb of
Eve?
It was while Adam was not around. It was when Adam was. If Adam were around, that serpent would try that.
So while men slept.
Yes.
At what point in the history of the church would you place that?
Now. If you say while men slept, it is after the apostolic fathers have died and gone that the enemy now came and sowed his own seed in the same farm, the same womb of Eve.
So it was after the departure of the apostolic fathers.
After the departure of the apostolic fathers, because Apostle Paul fought them, and the other apostles fought them, Peter fought them, Jude fought them. You see? And what is it but to sow error? Because there is the spirit of truth and there's the spirit of error. These are the two origins. You know, the spirit of truth places his own in the womb of the church. The spirit of error also places his own. That was what we read earlier. Maybe we read it again. Second Timothy chapter 2. Is it chapter 2 or chapter 1? Verse 18 from verse 17.
2 Timothy 1 from 17 or 2 from 17.
I mean chapter 2 from verse 17.
And their word we eat as doth a canker.
Now, go back to verse 16.
But shun profane and vain babbling.
Now, this is, you see what occurs. Because the wheat and tares cannot dwell together.
For they will increase unto more ungodliness.
Uh-huh.
And their word we eat as doth a canker.
Uh-huh.
Of whom is Emmanuel.
An example of the tares that were planted there. Hymenaeus
and Philetus.
And Philetus.
Who concerning the truth have heard.
You see, that's the spirit of error that crept into the church. See it?
Saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the
you
foundation
see,
of
what was in verse 18? What were they preaching?
That the resurrection is past already.
Meanwhile, Apostle Paul, all the disciples were giving them the hope of resurrection.
Amen.
So you see, now, so that you understand also now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. What does it say?
For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he will not let it to let until he be taken out of the
now
way.
What is this mystery? Call it a mystery. Why is it mysterious? The same way that the angels could not explain, as we saw in that parable of the wheat and tares in Matthew chapter 13, was it not good seed you sowed? How come tares are there also? That's the mystery. So he said, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. People have, Hymenaeus and Philetus have smuggled in among them already. You see? And planted by the devil to preach another gospel. So it is today in the church of Jesus Christ. You know, after while men slept, look at the history. You know, in the same womb, the spirit of error, look at it. Immediately they died, the last apostle and all of the rest died along the church ages. We know of what happened in AD 325. And then that was the climax of it. There had been a lot of fighting between two groups of people, and then eventually the first church gained upper hand and established that church. And what is it? To just plant in and root error. And so from then on, you begin to see unscriptural things happening in the church. The world and the church became married. Idolatry and the church became married. And it became, it's a mystery. And still mysterious today, you know, how that you will see somebody that obviously is preaching error, but is anointed. It's not a mystery to you. Mm. You know, if you watch, you say, ah, but this person is anointed, but see the life he's living, but there's anointing. It's not a mystery. It's a mystery. So, but it is a mystery of iniquity. What is this mystery? How error crept into the church and not just entered, but took over the church, as it seems. It is a mystery that we're trying to explain. That is what the Satan wanted to achieve with the mixed multitude. He planted it there. When did it happen? When, while men slept. Sleeping there is the death of the apostolic fathers.
Hmm. Wow. While men slept.
Yes.
The enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat. Okay, yes. Sir. Back to your analysis.
Yes. I have a second one.
Okay.
Yeah, you said.
No, I want you to continue on what you yes, said.
Yes. Because sir. I want you to. That's the condition of the church.
Hmm.
Now, you can also look at the church from the family of Abraham.
Okay.
Now, here he is. Two children that he has. The same father, but different mothers.
Hmm.
You see, it's another picture of the church of Jesus Christ. Calling on the same
God.
God. But with two different, from two different women.
Mm.
And what is it? We know it is about Isaac and Ishmael.
Yes, sir.
Ishmael is, Apostle Paul again tried to give us that picture in Galatians chapter 4. From verse 21, read it for, up to verse 23.
Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law,
uh-huh.
do ye not hear the law?
Uh-huh. Listen.
For it is written that Abraham had two sons.
Abraham had two sons. Abraham is a type of God, the father. Uh-huh.
The one by a bondmaid,
uh-huh.
the other by a free woman.
That is, who is the one with the bondmaid?
Ishmael.
Free woman,
Isaac.
Is, okay.
But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh.
You see, by men, that, so he's talking about the church that has come about by a carnal arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
Since Christ, the promise of Isaac, Christ,
yes, sir,
is waiting for too long, why don't we have an idea of having children?
Mm-hmm.
So that you won't be without a child.
Mm-hmm.
It was by their idea of man. Mm. So he gave him another woman. And the woman produced
Ishmael.
Okay, so let's read on now.
Okay. But he was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh.
After man's idea, carnal idea.
But he of the free woman was by promise.
Promise of God. And God keeps his promises.
Which things are an allegory?
It is what?
An allegory.
An allegory. That is, it's like a type.
Mm.
You know, it's a proverb. It's a type. So if you go to verse 28.
Now we, brethren, as we, Isaac was.
As Isaac was.
Are the children of
we
promise.
We are children of promise. Yes.
But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Even so it is now.
Uh-huh.
Nevertheless, what said the scripture?
There shall be separation.
Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman.
So this is it now. Look at what is supposedly called the body of Christ today. There is the spiritual church of promise. And there is the carnal church. The carnal church is what we see today as the denominations. Man organizing themselves and taking up titles. In fact, organize the Holy Ghost away. Yes, they build themselves a wall by their creeds, their dogmas, wow. Introduce anything new to them, they will never take it.
Mm.
And instead of the leadership of the Holy Ghost, it is the leadership of men, leadership of their creeds, leadership of their dogmas. They have their articles of faith, and you don't go out of it.
Yeah.
They are trying to help God organize a church.
Since
we cannot get the proper picture of what it should look like. So these two groups of people are the denominational church and the non-denominational church.
Mm.
Let you know about Ishmael and
Isaac.
Isaac.
Wow. Okay, so what's the third type? You're giving us two now.
Yes. Okay, let me give you a third type. This third type now is the womb of Rebecca.
The womb of Rebecca.
Yes. The womb of Rebecca is another group of people. They have, the same father, the same mother.
So how will you type this one, sir?
Now, this group of people, you find them among the followers of the ministry of William Branham.
Hmm.
Take note that William Branham has a ministry that has to do with the end time.
Hmm.
That you cannot argue it for anybody.
Amen.
That is a student of the agenda of God.
Amen.
And so naturally, he also is part of the reapers at the end time. And we have tried through various sermons to place him where he is. And through his ministry, there is a call out, there is a response. So we all have the same father, the same mother, the sermon books, the messages of William Branham. But in the womb of the end time message, there are two manner of people there.
Hmm.
He said, in the womb, two manner of people, when inside the womb of Rebecca, there were there were trouble.
Hmm.
Rebecca was worried.
That's right.
What is it? Let's see it. Genesis. Let's go to the Genesis account first.
25.
Yes. Okay. Now chapter 25 and verse 19.
Okay. Genesis 25 from verse 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac.
Yes.
And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian.
Uh-huh.
And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife.
Now, yes.
Because she was barren.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived.
Conceived.
And the children struggled together within her.
You see, in the womb, the twins inside the womb, we are fighting. Uh-huh.
And she said, if it be so, why am I thus?
What is happening? If I'm blessed with children, why is this pregnancy having problem? Why every time?
Amen.
Yes.
And she went to inquire of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord
said unto her,
two nations are in thy womb.
Two nations are in thy womb.
And two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels.
Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels.
And the one people shall be stronger than the other people.
Uh-huh.
And the elder shall serve the younger.
So inside that womb, fathered by Isaac.
One father. Yes,
sir. One father.
Mm.
Same mother. The womb of Rebecca is a type of the womb of the message.
Mm.
It attracted also a mixed multitude. Two manner of people. One is a carnal nation. And one, a spiritual nation. You see? Two manner of people.
Yes, sir.
And like I once said in one of my messages I preached, I said that Esau is a type of the carnal followers of the ministry of William Branham.
Mm.
Who see nothing beyond the natural. Nothing spiritual about them. Everything just carnal. They are not able to break through the flesh of William Branham They are not able to break through beyond the signs and the wonders and the miracles that Willie Brown was performing to break through and see the message that he was bringing. So all they see is like the Gentiles, because of some supernatural manifestation around him, they ended there, and all they see is his flesh. Carnal, nothing spiritual about them. Go among some of their setting and you see how dead many of them are. You can see, even as at today, one of them from Abuja was accusing me that I don't believe William Branham or something like that, and that I am. He believes that and then they glory in little flock, you know. The Bible says, little flock, fear not little flock. So little groups. And then he's accusing me of taking people away from William Branham. And that I'm not making the people to believe William Branham. That is why he said, my beautiful auditorium, I have deliberately removed anything that will let the people know about William Branham. That I don't paste his quote around the church building, and then his picture is not in the church. Can you see? Did William Branham come to tell me about himself or about Jesus?
About the Lord Jesus.
If I heard him well, whose picture will I be hanging?
The Lord Jesus.
If I heard him well, who will I be talking about?
The Lord Jesus.
But they are not able to break through to catch this.
Cana.
So they are Esau.
Esau.
so you can see the two groups there.
Mm.
They are, instead of worshiping the man, following the man William Brown was pointing them to, they are busy following the messenger. So the question is, where will you listen to what he's telling you and respond appropriately?
Mm.
That is the problem they have. But they are too carnal.
Wow.
And they have therefore sold their birthright. You see, when you say birthright, when you are born again, there are rights that go with it.
Amen.
Healing, deliverance. In fact, the Bible put it, Jesus said, "This sign shall follow them that believe." They are the birthrights.
Amen.
They are the birthrights. Mm. You know, what is the evidence? Now, William Branham came to show the evidence.
Amen.
The birthright that you two can have it.
Mm.
But they are saying, no, only William Branham can have it.
Mm.
And they'll see the carnality. So they sold the birthright, and Jacob, the younger one, collected it.
Amen.
And take note, the message, the followership of the ministry of William Branham, they were not given birth to until William Branham died.
Mm.
I want you to take note of that.
Mm.
The death of William Branham produced the birth of
Jacob and Esau.
Of Jacob and Esau.
Mm.
So, but while in the womb, even while he was alive, the two group of people are there.
Together.
They were still fighting. He is God. Some people say, no, don't stop that. That's why we have people like Raymond Jackson. They were fighting while William Branham was still around. So you're making an idol of this man. It's wrong.
Mm.
You're not understanding him. They tagged him a black bed and all that kind of... they were there struggling. And William Branham was wondering what is happening. And... he didn't know that Esau and Jacob were in the womb of the message. And so, immediately he died, all of them manifested who they were. So that's a beautiful type.
A very beautiful one. Sir.
Yes.
Very clear and beautiful.
And that is why people never knew about this entire message largely until ministries like ours.
Jacob,
you see every week, see how many people we are baptizing every week. See, all around the world, people are getting excited. Remember, people will ask us, where have you been all these years? And then I wanted them to know that Jacob was serving Laban.
Jacob was in Syria.
Jacob was in Syria. Now he has come to take the mantle.
Hallelujah.
And then fulfill the promise.
Amen and
for
amen.
That glorious church. That shall manifest at this end time.
Amen. Wow. Yes. Thank you so much, sir. You've painted a very clear picture. but some questions are still hanging, and we'd love for you to do justice to them.
Yes.
For instance, sir, you've told us, you've pointed to us when the mixture began, while men slept. Mm. That was your answer.
Apostle Paul said that mystery, it's a mystery.
Already,
even at the time when the apostles were on ground.
Mm. Is that why John
the
said,
serpent was always visiting Eve? It already started, even when Adam was still around, but didn't know why Eve was always associated with the serpent.
So to be sure I'm following, sir, the scripture in 1 John 2:18.
Yes.
Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come.
Yes.
Even now are there many Antichrists.
Even now.
Okay.
At that time, the ministry of iniquity doth already work. Who are they? This is what Jude had to say in Jude, verse 3 and verse 4.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who are before of old ordained to this condemnation.
Uh-huh.
Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness,
uh-huh,
and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, read it. Why he said we should contend, earnestly contend? What is the reason?
Verse 4.
Verse 4.
Certain men crept in unawares.
They crept in.
Why men slept?
Unawares.
Who are before of old?
It's not surprise. It's not surprise to God.
Uh-huh. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness,
uh-huh,
and denying the only Lord God and Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
This is beautiful.
Yes.
Thank God for shedding His light. We can't walk in confusion.
At all.
But sir, I want to know, will this mixture will it last forever? Like, when I mean forever, I mean till the rapture.
No. That's why Christ brought that parable in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24, from verse 24.
Matthew 13 from verse 24.
Read it again.
All right,
sir. What did he say in verse 30?
Let both grow together until the harvest.
Let both grow together. You say, is it forever? No. Let them grow together until when?
The harvest.
Uh-huh.
And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers,
uh-huh,
gather you together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.
So there will be separation at the end time. So he allows them to flourish until the end time, that is just before the rapture.
Before the gathering into the
barn. So how does he put this separation?
Yes, how would the separation occur?
That is what you see in Matthew chapter 3.
Matthew 3.
Yes. See the way he put it in verse 11 and verse 12.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance.
Yes.
But he that cometh after me is mightier than I,
uh-huh,
whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is
now,
in his hand?
Now, this is where I am going. He has a fan in his hand.
And he will thoroughly purge his floor.
Separation.
And gather his wheat into the garner.
Then there will be wheat gathered.
But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire.
You see, now I want you to note, again, there is another type that escaped my mind. It's just coming to me now. The book of Esther. Now, in the book of Esther, there was another call there. The book of Esther, the story of the book of Esther, chapter 1 and chapter 2, is the story of the church.
Amen and amen.
Ahasuerus and Vashti.
Amen.
Vashti is a type of Israel.
That's right.
Okay, the queen of God. The only family he has on earth. Prepared a feast, salvation. But they turned him down. Came to his own rejected him. Then, you see that Matthew 22 parable of the marriage feast. So since they rejected, refused to come, send them, go to the byways and gather everywhere good and the bad, gather everywhere. Now take note that the replacement of Vashti, Queen Vashti, was a call. But when they came, there is a preparation process. All of them were together with the chamberlains. But a time came for separation.
Mm.
So he does this separation by himself. So you come for inspection. It's a ministry by God himself. He said he will send the reapers. So they are also ministers. End time ministers. Time to collect Esther. Esther was among the maidens. Now the king himself, you will come for inspection. That action of when he looks at you the next day, he sends you to Shah Ashgaz, another chamberlain by the name of Shah Ashgaz. He described as the keeper of the concubines. You see the separation taking place. When they come, God himself will separate. Go there. You go there. Then, until the bride comes, the queen herself, Esther, it's a qualification. He accepts her as the queen. He does it by himself. Now, what does he use? He says he has a fan. Now, when he says he has a fan here that will blow, what is the fan? The fan there is what we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians 11, and then if you... I'm coming. It says, verse 18 and verse 19.
For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it.
See it now.
For there must be also heresies among you.
There must be heresies among you.
That they which are approved may be made manifest you among see? You.
So what is the fan? He will allow this spirit of
false
error to doctrine. Come in.
False doctrine.
It's doctrine.
Hallelujah.
So that he will allow this error. He says so that those who are approved may be made manifest. How will they be made manifest? He will now use evil quotes. There are some quotes, there are some statements William Branham made that is in, that God allow it to know who are those that are hearing him well.
Mm.
Those quotes that look as if they are contradictory. You could just see a prophet, you know, that is the uniqueness of the ministry of William Branham.
That's true, sir.
You know, that is the only prophet we see at all in the Bible because his ministry has to do with the end time. Mm. His ministry has to do with separation.
Mm.
Because remember that his ministry also fulfills Matthew chapter 13.
Yes, sir.
The last parable there, verse 47.
Verse 47.
Yes.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net.
Yes.
That was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away.
You see, it's a fishing. It's a fishing. Read that verse 48 again.
Which when it was full.
The fishing net is full, but it is with a mixed multitude.
Mm.
They
drew to shore.
When they drew to shore
and sat down and gathered
and began to sort out. You gather the good into vessels.
But cast the bad away.
And then so there will be separation. Because inside the water where you brought them out from the water, there are idol worshippers. Inside the water, there the water is the world. Revelation 17 tells also the world, multitude, the world, people. Inside the river, ocean, the fisherman threw net there. Who is he looking for? Fish. Did he go to catch crayfish? Did he go to catch wood that they threw it there? The wood will enter that net. Grass will enter that net. If where he's fishing is very close to the shore, you will see plastic waste that will be flying up and it will enter there too. Snakes will enter there. All manner of creatures, including creatures that the fisherman has never seen before. They will enter that net because of the crusade. They will follow. Where is this church that is having so much power? Oh, they were following Jesus up and down. So they follow. So But there must be separation. You see? And it is an end time ministry. Church of Jesus Christ, it is the end time ministry, is the ministry for separation. And he, what does he use? He is using doctrines. Doctrines. In Ephesians chapter 4, he called it wind of doctrines.
Yes, sir.
Wind of doctrines. I think let's read it.
Yes, sir.
Chapter 4, the importance of the fivefold ministry.
From verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints.
That is the purpose of the fivefold ministry. Again, maybe from verse 11.
Okay. And he gave some apostles,
yes,
and some prophets,
yes,
and some evangelists,
yes,
and some pastors,
yes,
and teachers,
yes,
for the perfecting of the saints,
mm-hmm,
for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
That is the ministry of the fivefold ordained by God. But remember, Satan also has his ministers. Okay?
Till we all come in the unity of the faith.
We must come to the unity of the faith.
And of the knowledge of the Son of God.
Uh-huh.
Unto a perfect man.
Uh-huh.
Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
And this is one of the reasons why this conference that I've been advocating is important.
Amen.
To achieve the unity of the faith, we must come together and look at the scriptures again.
Amen.
And have a common ground, not by agreement, but by revelation.
Mm.
Because if you come by agreement, then you're not different from Cain.
Mm.
Who said that they may be one, but it is a carnal association.
Mm.
But we're talking of a spiritual association.
Mm.
The unity of faith, yes, unity of revelation.
Amen.
Not Christian Association of Nigeria that want to be one. One in association, not in revelation.
Mm.
The unity here must be the unity of revelation.
Mm.
Because the unity of the faith, that they may be one.
Mm.
They may be one in understanding. There may be one in Christian love. That they may be one in focus. There may be one
in the knowledge of the Son of God.
In the knowledge of the Son of God. Not some believing Trinity, some believing oneness, some baptizing like this, some baptizing like that. Some say they are celestial, some say they are this. Some ordained women pastors, some say they are chief apostles, some say they are archbishop. All of you come together and then you say that you are one because you are all calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, that is not the unity that is referred to here.
Amen and amen.
Go ahead. That unity is association of a pressure group to protect yourselves from whatever is perceived. But this is not the Bible. That is not what Jesus Christ advocated for us, prayed for us. It is a unity of the faith, revelation.
Amen.
And I intend, by the grace of God, and because I am sure that my revelation is Bible-based, and I'm advocating that ministers should come together and we'll look at these things together in an annual ministerial conference.
Amen and amen.
Yes.
Verse 14.
Yes.
That we henceforth be no more children.
You see?
Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine.
You see? It's a wind.
Hmm.
That is why he called it fan. What does a fan do? It blows wind. But it is God that allows it. And see the way he put it. Complete that thing.
By every wind of doctrine, by the slay of men.
You see, the slay of men
and cunning
craftiness,
whereby the lying waits to deceive.
That is the scripture I'm looking for. So when he says the fanning is in hand and you will thoroughly purge the floor, he's referring to verse 30 of Matthew chapter 13. At the end, you will send the reapers and cause the separation.
Yes.
He uses what? It's doctrine.
Mm.
So he called it the wind of doctrine. How does he do it? Our threshing floor is the Bible.
Hallelujah.
Now, there are quotes that even William Branham quoted. It's so interesting to look at this. You know, the same thing that the denominations are guilty of.
Mm.
Go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Mm.
You are showing them in the Bible that Peter baptized in the name of Jesus. In response to that commandment.
Mm.
No matter how you prove it, instead of them to look at the Bible, they are looking at their GO. unless, and I repeat, unless that the GO sees this revelation, no member of his church will see it, except it's an elect from the foundation of the world. Mm. Because we are a different makeup.
Amen.
And so also, when you come to the message, you are showing somebody something in the Bible. Where does he confirm it from? From William Branham. If William Branham says anything contrary, that's the one he will hold. Not knowing that, that is the way that God, what God is using to separate the wheat from the tares, the mixed multitude that came into the ministry of William Branham.
Amen.
So, what does he use? He uses doctrine. Now, this is the threshing floor.
Hallelujah.
Anything you hear, he will just stir up something. Hmm. And if whatever you hear, whatever you see, whatever you catch, whether it is by dream, by vision, or by a quote of William Branham, a quote of your GO, a quote anywhere, it doesn't bring you to the Bible, you are a tear. If you are chaff, because chaff, wind blow them
away from the threshing floor.
But the wheat will fall to the Bible. That is the identification.
Hallelujah.
You see why they are angry with me that I hold the Bible above any quote. I judge every quote. They will tell you, are you correcting the prophet? I am not correcting the prophet. The word of God correct every one of us, including Amen. William Branham. Hmm. Yes. And you say you have better understanding than William Branham. Amen. William Branham is not my standard. So why will I be comparing myself with him? Hmm. If I correct the Holy Ghost, then you will say, are you correcting the Holy Ghost? Because William Branham is not my teacher. The Holy Ghost is my teacher. Now, I'm saying so because I am being fought by this group of people. But unfortunately, I am a fighter myself. God trained me up knowing the kind of ministry he will bring, take me into. So when they come, I'm ready for them. And none of them has been able to come and meet me personally, one-on-one. Even when I invite some of them, they don't come. I say, come and sit down with me. Come with your quote, I will come with my Bible. Every message William Branham preach, he pick his text from the Bible. So what is happening to you people? He said, because William Branham said, say what the tape said. Do you know the meaning of what he said? Say what the tape said. Did you hear the tape say, come back to the Bible?
Amen and amen. That the word is absolute. Hallelujah.
So you can see that it will not last forever. There will be a separation time, and the separation is going on now.
And there are reapers, and it is true, and this wind is the wind of doctrine.
Exactly. Hmm. The wind of doctrine. And you know, our focus is now in the end time. Hmm. You know, because like William Branham made a statement and made it regularly. He said, the people always are able to talk about what God has done before.
In the past.
In the past, and what God will do in the future. But what he's doing in the present, they are never able to identify it. Mm. You see? They know Messiah will come, but when he came, they are still waiting for he will come. They believe it, that he is coming. But when it is fulfilled, they are never able to catch it. Mm. So, if we say we are in the end time, then there is something that is going on in the end time. Everybody believes that there is something going on in the end time. But how to place it? You need the sons of Issachar.
Wow. The end time ministry is the ministry for separation.
Exactly.
That's a very, very powerful quote.
Exactly. Mm. And that separation, you know, what did he say in verse 30 again of Matthew 13? What happens?
Both grow together until the harvest.
Yes.
And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them.
What are they to do?
Bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn.
Now, there is something very interesting that I want to bring out, if you will permit me today.
Please, sir.
It's very exciting and very interesting to me, because these things, help me to understand what God is doing now.
Amen.
Now, I want you to note that there are the destruction of Sodom. William Branham made reference on some of his messages in trying to bring out the picture of the bride. I gave a type. Abraham, the Bible referred to him as a friend of God. And we know the story, chapter 19. He was going to destroy
Sodom. That's chapter 18.
Chapter 18. He was going to destroy Sodom. Now, in chapter 18, there is a statement there.
Verse 17.
Verse 16, from verse 16.
And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom.
Who are these men? The three men that came to
Abraham.
Abraham.
And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way.
Because he saw them coming. These were strangers he saw. Yes.
And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation.
See?
And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of.
Now, so you can read the rest of the story, but I want to make reference to some things that William Branham said. Now, William Branham looked at these three characters. I mean, the three angels, or let me call it four characters, Abraham and those three angels. Now, he let us understand that one was Elohim himself.
Amen.
Then, together with the two angels. And William Branham put a type. Since Abraham has seven letters, the spelling, correct?
Yes, sir.
Abraham.
Yes, sir.
Has seven letters. William Branham has seven letters. I'm telling you the way William Branham, you know, presented it.
That's true, sir.
William Branham did not count the letters, but he is looking at Ham. Abraham. William Branham. Now, so he tried to just in typing and to let us know that in this end time, the destruction of the world is coming up. And he stayed with the elect, Abraham, God himself.
Amen.
A type of God himself with the bride, using him as the messenger. Then, and gave all the revelation and everything. Then, he referred to those two angels that went to Sodom. Because as at the time that William Branham was preaching, his ministry was on, there were three prominent preachers. We had William Branham, we had Billy Graham, we have Oral Roberts. Now, in placing them, William Branham looked at the two groups of the Christian fold at that time, the evangelicals, or what we call the Orthodox people, churches, the Pentecostals, and his own followers that he called the bride. So, William Branham let us know that those two angels were a type of Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. Now, William Branham said, what did they go to do? He said, they went to Sodom, a type of the world, to blinding those religious people. While these ones, while Elohim himself was with Abraham, William Branham. So, what he said is that Billy Graham and Oral Roberts, we are blinding angels to blind the Christian world so that they will not know that destruction is coming upon upon Sodom. Now, I said that is perfect. But he presented that to give importance to his ministry. That he has something for the bride. Because while he's there, pointing us to the Bible and pointing us to the truth and gathering everything, these people were there promoting those same errors among the denominations. So they must be, they are there busy blinding them to fulfill the spirit of delusion that is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Yes. Remember that he spoke about
verse 11.
He spoke about the mystery of iniquity.
Yes, sir.
Not now. Right. So go on.
And for this cause,
yes,
God shall send them strong delusion.
For which cause? Go back to verse 9.
Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan,
uh-huh,
with all power and signs and lying wonders.
It's called lying wonders. Uh-huh.
And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish.
Uh-huh.
Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved.
Yes.
And for this cause, God shall strengthen
them. And for this cause, God shall send them what?
Strong delusion.
To do what?
That they should believe a lie.
That they should believe a lie.
That they all might be damned who believe not the truth.
Yes.
But add pleasure in unrighteousness.
Because they turned down the gospel as presented by William Bryan. They say it's preaching error. They rejected that. So, he will now do something to make them believe the error. So, William Bryan placed the leaders of that move as Oral Roberts and all that follow him, and Billy Graham and all that follow that one too. So he called them blinding angels. So the denominations are blinded, but the word God, Elohim himself, stays with the bride.
Hallelujah.
Through William Graham's ministry. Very perfect. But let's go a little deeper. In my study, I went, God, you know, gave me even a deeper understanding. Remember that he was not taking a teaching on it. He was just making reference. It was evangelistic. He just made reference to it. So it's now left for us. He called our attention to actually see what God was doing using those two angels. First and foremost, I said that while those two angels, there were two ministries. While they blinded those Sodom, those tares that were there to receive fire, they were the ones that blinding them. But this same blinding angel, it was not the angel that stood with Abraham that came to bring them out of Sodom.
That brought Lot out.
So that brought Lot. I mean, that brought Lot and his family out. So when you restrict them to just blinding alone, you will not see the part they play and who Lot represents. Now, some intermessage preachers looked at Lot as a foolish virgin. But it will be a wrong placement scripturally, because they had to leave before fire came down.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, they are a type of the bride.
Amen and amen.
That will leave this world in the rapture. Amen. Then judgment will come upon the earth. But through whose ministry? It was through those angels' ministry.
Two angels.
Two angels.
Hallelujah.
So, who are these two angels? So, if we are the end time, let's look at who are these two angels. Where will we place? Which two ministries are we going to place now? Then we notice that in the Laodicean church age, there are going to be two monumental ministries.
Hallelujah, amen.
The full word will be restored.
Amen.
The third work of grace,
amen,
the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Remember that the shout began with Luther to bring us out of darkness They don't like to hear me, minister of, those following the minister of William Branham. They just started with William Branham, and then and then they mix it up, and then you know the proper picture is not caught. But compare what you teach with what I am saying, and see which one makes better sense. Because the shout was to calling out the bride from the dark ages, represented by the dark horse, the black horse. It was there that, you know, the shout takes place, and Luther came out, and that is what we see in Mark chapter 4, parable from verse 26, of the growing seed. The seed that died at Nicaea was hearing they were come up hither, and is going to come up and finally go in the rapture. So, Martin Luther got the three works of grace, which is the three measures of meal in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. That a woman, which is that false church, took these three doctrines, three measures of meal, and mixed it with her false doctrine. That is when paganism and Christianity married in AD 325 until it produced the dark ages. Everything was corrupted, but it is still a law of nature. For nature doth even teach us the process of this salvation. The corn of wheat must fall to the ground and die first. That seed fell on the day of Pentecost. It died at Nicaea, but it must come up again.
Hallelujah.
Through the shout. Amen. Ready to go home.
Amen.
And it resurrected.
Luther.
Luther continually traveled for cleansing. It had to be cleansed with Wesley.
Amen.
And then receive life.
Amen.
Because it didn't have life.
Hallelujah.
It had to receive life. The baptism of the Holy Ghost had to be restored through the ministry of
William Simon,
not William Branham. And it is only after Simon, they received life, that the ministry of William Branham now came up.
Oh, perfect.
So these are the two ministries at the end time, just before the rapture. And that is the ministry that is we are still part of now. Now, these two ministries is perfectly displayed for those who are sensitive in the spirit to catch it. Many of them are thinking I'm removing William Branham and replacing him with
William Simon
because they are thinking their idol is being reduced and things like that. No. You know, I want you to notice something here that in Revelation chapter 3, I want you to notice.
Yes, sir.
Let me see if I can bring out this picture a little bit clearer. Lord, help me, Lord. Now go to chapter 2 first.
Okay.
Listen, I want you to catch something. Verse 1, read it.
And unto the angel of the church in Sardis, write.
It's okay. What did he say? Unto the angel
of the church in Sardis.
Okay. Right. Now go to verse 8. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8.
Oh, Revelation 2, 8.
Yes.
And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, write.
Take note, singular.
Okay, I read 3:1 before. Okay, the first one is 2:1.
No, that's 2:1, yes.
Yes, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus.
Oh, sorry, Ephesus. I'm sorry. Sir. Okay, I thought you were reading verse 1. Verse 8.
And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, write.
And then verse 12.
And unto the angel of the church in Pergamos, write.
And then verse 18.
And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, right?
Now, go to chapter 3.
Okay.
Now, verse 1.
And unto the angel of the church in Sardis, right?
And then verse 7.
And unto that the is angel the sixth, of the church.
That is the sixth church age. What does it say?
And unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia.
Now, right? When it comes to Laodicea in verse 14, listen.
And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans.
Why plural? Why not singular? That is a key for you to catch. The reason is because it will be a global move. Here, you will notice here that the two messengers, William Simon and William Branham, Is it coincidence that they are all William, William?
Hallelujah, amen.
And William is seven letters. William is seven letters. And is it coincidence? No. So it'll be addressed to the two groups. Now, secondly, one is black. The other one is white. Does that not give you a global picture of the end time move? Now, just for you to think, you know. And then secondly, though he was black, he was not in Africa. He was in the West.
In the West.
In America.
Amen.
Showing you the end time event. For the Son, how did he put it? In Matthew 24, verse 27.
Amen. Matthew 24, 27.
Yes.
For as the lightning cometh out of the east, uh-huh, and shineth even unto the west, uh-huh, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
You see? So, by the time the Son reaches the west, that is the end of the day.
Amen and amen.
So, it is an end time ministry. Mm. And the two prominent ministries here, and all of them happening in the seventh church age, with their names bearing the same name, and then seven letters, is not a coincidence.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen and amen. Glory to God, hallelujah.
You see, and I want you to note that Matthew 24 and verse 14.
And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations.
Yes.
And then shall the end come.
And then shall the end come. It shall be preached to all nations. Mm. And all nations there consist of only black and white. Mm. So, and you have to take note of it, that we all know that Noah had three sons, Shem, Japheth,
and Ham.
We all know that the Shemites are the Middle East.
Yes, sir.
And the gospel started from them. Mm. And they rejected it. The Shemites took over. Japhethites took over. Which is, the Europeans and the rest. And the light was traveling. Then finally it reached the West. There must be the input of Ham.
Hallelujah, amen.
That's what I want you to note. Mm. There must be a black man that will carry that light also. Mm. For the three generations of Noah, the three children of Noah, to be properly covered by the gospel. Mm. I want you to note that when Christ was with his cross, when it was too heavy for him, who was the person that helped him?
A black man.
It was a black man, an Ethiopian. Mm. Correct?
Yes, sir.
It was a black man. It was an Ethiopian that helped him. Mm. So, Africa also has a role to play. That is what that action was depicting. And Africa also has a role to play in the gospel. That's why they brought a black man to help carry the cross, and his name was Simon.
Simon the Cyrenian.
Mm. Is it the Cyrenian, Ethiopian?
Cyrenian. It's called Cyrenian.
The Cyrenian. Yes, I think another account lets us know that it was an Ethiopian or something like that. But it was a black person. Lets us know so. Mm. So that you know why, of all in America, it was a black man that spearheaded the restoration of the third move in the seventh church age. Mm. You see, this is where I will wish that the followers of Mr. William Branham will catch and properly place that ministry. Mm. So that you will now understand that these two angels both saved the bride
and
blinding the rest of the Christian world.
Yes.
So in Matthew 13, verse 40 to verse 43, you see,
as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire,
yes,
so shall it be in the end of this world.
At the end of this world,
the Son of Man shall send forth his angels,
eh?
the Son of Man shall send forth his angels.
What will happen?
And they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity.
Uh-huh.
And shall cast them into a furnace of fire.
Uh-huh.
They shall be wailing and gnashing of
teeth. Now, we know verse 43.
Then shall the righteous shine forth as his son in the kingdom of their father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Can you see the two jobs the angels are to do there? Did you catch it? You didn't catch it.
They shall gather out of his kingdom, and then they shall cast into the fire.
Then the righteous will shine.
Amen.
And the Bible referred to Lot as that righteous
Lot.
You see? So Lot was not foolish virgin. Lot is a type of the bride that through the ministry of those two angels, they escaped, while the rest were blinding.
Hallelujah.
Why were they blinding? Notice in Genesis chapter 19, verse 10, the angels, what they did.
But the men put forth their hand.
Yes.
And pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door.
Eh?
The men put forth their hand.
Yes.
And pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door.
Now, so you see also in Luke chapter
13:24.
Thank you very much. That's the scripture I'm looking for.
Okay.
Chapter 13. What did he say?
Verse 24.
Uh-huh.
Strive to enter in at the straight gate.
Uh-huh.
For many I say unto you, we seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door.
Who shuts the door? Is the master of the house.
Yeah, master of the house, yes.
So it's a ministry of God himself.
Hmm.
The angels shut the door. Shut which door? Door of salvation was shut to this blinding one. They will look for salvation. They cannot get it.
Amen.
There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hmm. While the doors are shut, what happens?
And ye begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying,
yes,
Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not when.
The emphasis is that they shut the door. It was God himself that shut the door to them. But he shut out with the spirit of delusion. A blinding them. So that you understand why you understand this scripture. And Jew doesn't understand. It has been shut out of it. You see?
Ooh.
Because they have no love for truth. Why would they be bringing comedians to the church to make caricature of the name of Jesus? Brethren, listen. See all the abominations that are going, they have brought the world into the church. No matter how you show them in the scriptures, they cannot see it. The door of salvation has been shut. Listen. At what point was Sodom judged? It is a time when homosexuality, lesbianity, LGBT was legalized. Can't you people see the sign of the end? The same setting. The sign, one, if you don't see any other sign that the destruction of this world is at hand, you will read the Bible and see that it was when the world, Sodom, had reached a state of this same LGBT claiming rights and they were legalized because they were not doing it secretly. They saw some fine, beautiful men that came in and they were coming after them. It was legalized, but even at that time, there was a righteous bride of Christ that fight it, they see it, they reject it, they preach it. But there are churches that are joining them. There are people who don't want to hurt anybody. They will say God hates the lover, love the sinner, but he hates sin. Afraid to mention that homosexuality is abomination before the Lord. But it's okay, it's a sign that this world will soon end. But before it ended, there were two angels.
Hallelujah.
Before this one will end, he has sent on the two angels. William Simon. And William Branham.
Hallelujah.
That is all I'm trying to bring out. And you want to see the ministry of William Branham? Revelation chapter 3.
Amen and amen.
And verse 18.
I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire.
Now, you see now, which age was he talking to?
The Laodicean church age.
Please read it from the beginning, Laodicean church age.
And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans.
The Laodiceans. because you are black and white.
These things say the amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot.
Which verse are you reading now?
Verse 15 now.
Verse 15, go on.
I would thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth.
What? So verse 16, what does it say?
So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot.
Then you have no stand. You have no stand. You are neither supporting it, nor you are condemning it. You have no stand. You are not condemning sin. And yet you are not supporting it, but you are not condemning it. That is the estate of the leadership of the church today. What did he say he will do?
I will spew the out of my mouth.
That is, he will not communicate with you again. So, no revelation. He will not be revealing anything to you again. He leaves you like that.
Because that says I am rich.
Because all you are boasting of is prosperity.
And increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And
but spiritually, see your estate.
And knowest not that thou art wretched.
Wretched.
And miserable.
Miserable.
And poor. And blind.
And spiritually naked.
And naked.
Yes.
I counsel thee to buy of me gold.
Now, there is a ministry that is on now.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There is something that is being offered now.
Amen and amen.
And what is it?
Gold tried in the fire.
It is tried in the fire.
That thou
it is the word of God. That if you know the history of this Bible, what it has gone through, then you'll understand some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire,
amen,
but all through the blood. Go and read our apostolic fathers when they went through in delivering this word to us. It has withstood all trials, this precious gift that God has given us, his word. He said, buy of me gold tried with fire.
That thou mayest be rich.
So that you will be rich spiritually.
Amen.
And
white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed.
That is the righteousness. Holiness.
And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve.
Eye salve. The spirit of revelation. Open my eyes that I may see.
Amen and amen.
Glimpses of truth thou hast for me. He said, place in my hand the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. And your attitude must be, silently now I wait for thee, ready my God, thy will to see. He said, it's a prayer. Eyes, illumine me, spirit divine.
Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen.
Finish that verse.
Hey, I counsel thee to and anoint thy eye with eye salve that thou mayest see.
That thou may see.
As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent.
Go on the next verse. What did he say?
Behold, I stand at the door.
Even now, he's standing at the door of the Laodicea. They have put him away. Bring him into this age. Bring him in.
If any man hear my voice and open the door.
Now listen, it's not if any church. It's not if any denomination. It is now a personal revelation.
Hallelujah.
It is time now to make your own calling and election sure. If you are going to wait for your denominational headquarters hierarchy to see these revelations, the door has been shut against them. Now it is gleaning time. You know what is gleaning?
Amen.
Now it is gleaning time. It is now here. One. That is why we are not expecting some mighty move again, because God is not going to tolerate mixed multitude again. It is separation time.
Amen and amen. Wow.
Thank you. That is the picture of the church.
Thank you so much, sir. I know you've answered this in all you've said, but this is still my final question, just in a few words. In the mixed multitudes, how can you tell the original from the fake? I want you to just give a little emphasis on it again.
The fan.
Those are four.
Using the wind of doctrine. That is what God uses. Anything, if you see anybody pointing himself to any other thing other than the word of God as given to us through this gold tried with fire. Just know that he's in error.
All right.
And a wind has blown him away, even including the coat of William Branham.
Mm.
If that coat does not bring you to the Bible, and instead you are there every day, you are playing the tape of William Branham. Every day you are playing the tape of William Branham. When will you leave the tape? Evidence that you have heard what he spoke in the tape and begin to respond by coming to the Bible. If all you have to do is to stand at the altar and be repeating what William Branham spoke in a sermon book, 1950, 1940 something, 1960 something, it is evidence you have not yet responded to the message. If you respond to the message, where we see we have caught the revelation. Amen. By the last prophet's message, and we know who we are, what we are called out for, God's attributes were manifested again to his bride in this age. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are. We have responded. How? What is the evidence you have responded? We have now left our creeds and dogmas.
Hallelujah.
And we are now holding this gold that has been tried with fire. That's how you know them.
Wow. Hallelujah. I just feel like waving my hands to say thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for making me a privileged person in this generation to know all this. Thank you so much, sir. You've landed.
I hope I have.
You have, sir.
Because when we leave here now, you'll still be firing me question again. I hope I have landed.
You have.
You know, so you can, you see, there are people within the entire message. I've seen a few of them, you know, that said it was when they came across us that their understanding of the message became clearer.
That's true.
You know.
Very true, sir.
Yes. You know, William Branham preached a message that he titled At Kadesh Barnea.
Mm. Amen.
You have a camp round about this place for so long, too long.
Turn nuts.
Where did he say he should go?
Turn nuts.
Okay, let me hang it because we're on air.
Hallelujah.
Could it be a coincidence that one of those that is spearheading the move to move out of Kadesh is from the north?
Amen.
Northern Nigeria. That is who I am.
Hallelujah.
You better listen to what I'm saying.
Mm. Move. No, I be rude in speech.
I may be rude in speech like Apostle Paul.
Yes, not in knowledge.
Not in knowledge.
Wow, thank
and
you.
And I
so
give
much,
glory
sir.
To
I
God
feel
for that.
Overfed. I would advise you to get this message and listen to it again. That's what it is, a message, a serious study. Pastor has said what you've not heard before, I'm sure today. So listen to it, share with others to hear what is being said on Rapture Watch. Because this is indeed God's storehouse for his bride in this generation. God has blessed us indeed with food. We have spiritual food in due season on Bright TV. Thank you so much. A big thank you to all sponsors of Bright TV. Truly, you are in the program of God. May God bless you. Don't forget to join us on Monday night. Ask the pastor. I'm sure you have several questions. Pastor, what are you saying? Are you saying this is that? Please feel free. Fellowship with us on Monday night, 7 p.m. Nigerian time. Ask the pastor on Bright TV. Ask the pastor. It's a program that you love. The pastor has taken our time to be with us every Monday in his office. He's seated there answering questions. So any question you have concerning this discussion today, feel free and ask the pastor on Monday night, 7 p.m. And the Lord will bless you. Until we meet again, we say keep watching Bright TV. Shalom.